This is Press Play on KCRW. I'm Madeline Brand. Over the past 2 days, Jennifer Siebel Newsom, a documentary filmmaker and the wife of California Governor Gavin Newsom, has been testifying against Harvey Weinstein in his rape and sexual assault trial here in Los Angeles. On Monday, she offered graphic testimony alleging Weinstein raped her in a Beverly Hills hotel room in 2005. She said she repeatedly pleaded with him to stop. She faced a grueling cross-examination from Weinstein's defense attorneys yesterday, her second and final day of testimony. Weinstein is already serving a 23-year sentence for sex crimes he committed in New York, and he has pleaded not guilty to similar charges here in L.A. Of the four women who have taken the stand against him in this trial, Siebel Newsom is by far the most high profile. Weinstein's lawyers used emails, campaign donations, and details of the alleged rape to question her credibility. Lois Beckett is a reporter for The Guardian here in L.A. She's been covering the trial. Welcome back to Press Play.
Thanks for having me.
And just a heads up to people listening, this conversation will contain descriptions of sexual assault, so please choose when and where you listen. Okay, so Jennifer Siebel Newsom first came forward publicly about what happened to her in a 2017 op-ed for the Huffington Post, but she is anonymous in court documents and in court. She's only called Jane Doe 4. Her lawyer confirms that she is indeed Jane Doe 4. And Governor Gavin Newsom waited for her outside the courtroom. So what is happening here? Why has she chosen to come forward and testify, but also she is maintaining this kind of legal anonymity?
Well, I think it's, really striking in so many ways, her story about what she says happened to her, her alleged rape by Harvey Weinstein is so similar to so many other women who have testified in Los Angeles and who testified previously in New York. But I think that one thing that's really striking, if you haven't been following along closely with these trials, is that the public accusations against Harvey Weinstein included some of the most famous women in the world, Gwyneth Paltrow, Angelina Jolie, many, many other A-list celebrities spoke out about him propositioning them, his inappropriate sexual behavior. But the women who have actually taken the stand against him previously in New York in 2000 and now in Los Angeles are, for the most part, not big names. They're not famous. The two women who got a conviction against him in New York, one was a production assistant, one was an aspiring actress who just didn't get very far. And so what's happening here in Los Angeles is that Jennifer Siebel Newsom is by far the most prominent person to actually take the stand and try to get a criminal conviction for what he did to her. And that, comes with a lot of scrutiny and comes with a lot of risk of telling her story as someone who is quite prominent and will continue to have a public life, presumably for the next few decades.
Right. And so I guess I'm wondering why she decided to do this, to come forward and testify.
That's such an interesting question. And there's sort of two pieces of information we have on that. You know, she said through her lawyer repeatedly that she wants to testify because gender inequality has been a key part of her career. Her standout documentary, Misrepresentation, was about the objectification of women in the media. She's made gender equality and closing the gender pay gap central to her work as First Partner. So she wanted to speak out, to support other women to as an advocate. But she also said during her, pretty brutal cross-examination on yesterday, that when she initially came forward to speak to detectives in 2000 in Los Angeles, that she thought that what happened to her was too outdated, maybe to make it to court. And that she said she initially had come forward to support other women, to support their stories, not to end up on the witness stand.
But there she was on the witness stand for 2 days. And then yesterday, it was just a brutal cross-examination. Can you describe briefly what happened in that cross-examination?
Yes. I mean, what was really striking about this case is that in the opening statement, Mark Werksman, one of Weinstein's attorneys, referred to Jennifer Siebel Newsom as just another bimbo who wanted to get ahead in Hollywood by sleeping with Harvey Weinstein. So, immediately targeting the most prominent and powerful and well-connected woman with the most sort of degrading and shocking language. And in court, in the cross-examination, that tone was less what he pursued than something else, which was just a grinding attempt over and over again to cast doubt on her memory and to suggest that her emotion and her grief at recalling these incidents were the product of her being an actress, that in fact she had had for many years no problem with interacting with Harvey Weinstein, and that only now retroactively, after it became a big national event, did this become something for her that actually upset her.
Right. And I think there was a moment, right, when she actually equated the cross-examination with what happened to her in terms of
Absolutely.
It being an abuse.
Yes, she directly said, you know, to Mark Worksman, you know, that what you're doing to me today, like, is exactly what he did to me back then, referring to Harvey sort of, you know, after she initially said no in this hotel room, no, and backed away, that he then talked to her and argued with her and litigated with her, and whatever she said, he still wanted what he wanted. And just that, you know, sort of verbal intimidation was something that she talked a lot about. And she said that being on the stand felt like that all over again.
Right, which is one reason why many women and people who are victims of sexual assault do not come forward. And I want to play a clip of tape from Siebel Newsom's attorney. Her name is Beth Fagan. And this is her talking about her client. Again, she calls her Jane Doe 4.
None of those were flirtatious. None of them were seeking a personal relationship. All of them were professional, and either professional within the entertainment industry or within politics.
Okay, so that's a different cut than we anticipated playing. She's talking about these emails that the defense brought up, saying, look, if she was so traumatized, why did she continue this relationship with Harvey Weinstein over email? What was the story there?
I mean, for hours in court yesterday, Weinstein's lawyers read one email over another, put them on the screen, and interrogated her about every detail of them, asking her why she signed off one warm regards, noting that she's replied to one email from Harvey Weinstein within 8 minutes of sending. And what was so striking and what her attorney is pointing out is that they did get, you know, dozens, nearly 70 emails between them over the course of several years after the assault. Some of those were email blast emails that went out to lots of different people. And some of them were requests from her asking him to, you know, meet up for a coffee or chat or ask for advice. And she testified that she just hadn't remembered sending a lot of these emails, and that, you know, in fact, that she'd sent hundreds of thousands of emails over her career as an actor, as a producer, as someone like deeply involved in her husband's political career. And it really was striking that there's so much time spent on these emails, very repetitive time. And she kept saying, this is me trying to reclaim my power. I wanted, did not want this horrible thing that happened to me to end my Hollywood career. And I wanted to take back control by pretending things were normal and asking for the help and the networking that I needed to get ahead. And it was really striking in those emails. Often when she's asking to meet, she's always asking to meet with him and another person. Oh, can I see you and your wife? Oh, my friend and I might want to see you. Something that really jumped out to me in those hours of testimony.
Interesting. And she is the last woman to testify in this trial?
She is not the last woman to testify. There are four Jane Doe accusers, who have crimes that happened in Los Angeles, and four other women who testified to similar patterns of rape and sexual assault that happened elsewhere, but that are not being directly charged in Los Angeles. So this morning, another woman, a model and actress, talked about an alleged rape that happened in London. And their testimony is being provided to sort of help inform the jury's understanding of this pattern of behavior of sexual violence.
Right. And so something like more than 90 women in total have accused him of some form of sexual misconduct. I'm wondering briefly, we have a few seconds left, how the jury might see Jennifer Siebel Newsom. She is a high profile woman and she's in a position of privilege. How might that influence the jurors when they listen to her testimony?
I think the defense attorneys were definitely trying to bring up her husband, jurors' potential dislike for her husband, the fact that Harvey Weinstein did donate money to Newsom's political campaigns, not very much, like $5,000 once, $500 another time, according to reports. But definitely trying to paint some picture of quid pro quo there. It's also important to remember that, you know, she is a very wealthy and well-connected woman, wealthy and well-connected white woman. And those are women that traditionally, you know, as a longtime sex crimes prosecutor told me, they get more credence in front of juries. Juries are more willing to believe them. So it's not clear what will happen as sort of the jury's pulled both ways on this sort of political dislike, but also that she is a woman who is protected and powerful, and she has chosen to testify in this way.
All right. Lois Beckett, covering the Harvey Weinstein LA trial for The Guardian. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much.
Coming up, Matthew Heineman, the documentary filmmaker, has made a new film about the end of the war in Afghanistan.
You know, I filmed a lot of very intense situations in my career, you know, Mexican drug war, ISIS in Syria, opiate epidemic. Nothing has compared to being at the airport with thousands of civilians desperately trying to flee.
Our conversation is next on Press Play.